you're going to cut this, you're going to cut that, which means something new, you're going to have that way.
Well, I understood it the way that you might be working it out, John. Nothing really was shrunk.
That's right.
I think the way it was done, the government will continue, it just means we're not going to add, not shrink, but not add. Because basically, we leave all the money in.
Matter of fact, you can.
Major growth of government is banana, but half of this inflation, that stays in. So in other words, goddamn HEW will continue to expand, and the social security will expand, and the government payrolls expand.
It's a sinister hidden growth. The taxpayer never votes on whether the federal government will expand or whether more money should be appropriated. These fellow Wilbur Mills knows damn well that he doesn't have to raise rates to raise more money.
What I'm getting, what we're getting at is very carefully worked out. Nothing. I mean, I think your objection is met. You raised it when we talked to Schultz. Your objection is met because nothing will be cut. This is basically to take, basically that if you do expand government, if government moves into an area that presently is not occupied, then you've got to find a way to cut it in some other area. For example, but because it allows for the growth of government, to the extent that.
Yep. It's a secret resource that has permitted.
Does not shrink the government.
Sub rosa growth of government without anybody knowing.
Well, and another thing you have to have in mind is why do you have, they study this, every tax reduction that we've had really is taking this, ours, for example, 69, giving it back. So we're saying, in fact, we're going to determine now whether it's going to be rather than leave it to the whims of Congress. Anyway, you look at it, but look at it with that in mind, because there's no reason to invite it to this campaign. Questions are going to be raised. See what I mean?
Sure.
Another thing, John, the way we let that formula, John, I wouldn't go too far, but I think just keep it mighty mild at this point.
That's simple.
Simple, but I mean, so that we do not run any problem with the shrinkage of government. It's going to be shrunk some in some areas, but it'll grow in others.
Mm-hmm.
There's no.
Mm-hmm.
The point that I make is don't. You do not have to go too far in terms of the tax credit. Set as a goal the reduction of property tax in the future, but I wouldn't go too far.
Well, the sophisticates in the press room understand how the fiscal dividend works very well, and they know how it's been used, and they know approximately what the annual dollar amount of it is. So
when did you and John have a chance? Who are the people who know the most about this? You and Schultz.
Lou Engman here in the White House. Knows
right.
Most about it. And
why don't you let Ray Lysak and you want to write this in yourself? Well, they'll write it, but I mean, are you going to edit it or are you going to have somebody, are you going to make somebody else edit it?
It's probably either me or Seth Meyer.
Well, I'd rather have you do the foreign policy. There are two that I want you to do. I want you to do the foreign policy and the most of the future. In other words, the hopeful stuff. And I'd rather have you spend your time on that. This is basically, I think you're right, let Sapphire do this. But I think I'd like Ray to sit in on this point that he makes about the shrinkage of government, because he has made this point. And I think you have no use to raise an issue that we're going to, that we don't have. We'll raise the issue when we do it. We don't want the erasure before the campaign.
Right.
I think you're right. Sapphire would be good on this. He gets far on those economic things pretty well. And you concentrate on the two. And as a present time, if I can suggest it, I think I would rather have you start on the hope.
Well, that leaves.
Maybe that would be done in L.A.
We have a draft on urban affairs.
I do that in L.A. Saturday or Sunday. Saturday or Sunday papers. I think we ought to think of that for Saturday or Sunday papers.
To look to the future.
To look to the future.
Next 4 years.
I think the foreign policy, really, we ought to try to have by like Saturday preceding that. Right? That really ought to go for a Saturday.
That's the farm speech. That's the farm speech. I don't count on the same day as making it when I do it Sunday.
think a man's good at somebody as a wire man.
Especially if it's on something new, like somebody I think already knows.
That's right. Incidentally, Bob, on this speech you're doing tomorrow, let's go to the film rather than we decide to do that or no, rather about now. Why do we do that? Because football games are being impressed or why?
World Church. Series is on at 1 o'clock.
That happens to be a lucky break. It's the best audience. We checked with them on the rating thing on Sunday. 5 and 6 is the top.
Look at that.
Stakes are so high.
Yeah, but not is it true that a lot of people that engage in this activity are not legally licensed?
No, not among the pushers.
Pushers are not.
They're strictly business. They know best.
Well,
no better.
That is
well, no, it's a
beauty of this. Thank God we had contained.
Yeah.
Rather than Italian pushing.
Yeah. The mafia has not been much in this, you know. They decided to get out.
Presidential names. Is there any other thing we give other than the name of freedom that's worth a damn?
Yeah, we have that the new president.
policies of Afghanistan.
Very well, I talked to him a little about, you know, what he's been doing and how he got into this work. You know, he just agreed to tell you about the kind of guy that, you know, probably won't have any money for it or something. At least we can do
a speech on urban affairs, that is, responsiveness of government, local government, revenue sharing as a philosophy, that whole thing, the bankruptcy of the Great Society approaches,
urban affairs, could we call it something?
Sure. We've just been using that term as a
city. The city thing that bothers me.
Yeah, but it's sort of a
good opportunity in there.
New federalism kind of approach, and I don't know what you call it as a subject matter, but I had my people put together a speech for me on this that I didn't ended up not using.
Quality of life.
And there's a lot that you talk about in there.
Yeah.
And
that sounds pretty good to me, right? And also, we would be addressing that subject and that constituency. We won't make any goals, but we should address it so it appears that we're not.
Again, crime, there's a lot to talk about in terms of our experience in D.C. and the fact that it can be done.
I've covered that pretty well.
Sure you have, but two or three lines in there doesn't hurt.
No, you still got those over the right people. Why in the hell would they arrest those people?
So we wouldn't get out.
We didn't want them out.
I understand.
We should have had them there. The Democrats have nothing more to do with the election. Subject speeches. That's another thing. I just broke just there when I put about three seconds. say it. President has just spoken. This guy has a little touch to it.
That's what.
And what hands it up there, Dale, over and over. Nobody, it tells, nobody, we've never said there never was an office in Camp David. In reality, no, there really is.
What kind of a line do you want us to carry on this subject of campaigning? We've been saying up to now, of course, that we had the Congress in and so on. So the Congress was out today. I'm sure to get hit tomorrow with this question.
Oh, I think you should say it. Well, the President has all the bills the Congress has passed that he's got to consider.
You ought to get the figure out what he may end up with today. That's going to be one hell of a slog.
Terms. Yes, you could say maybe he's got 30 or 40 bills that he has to consider. That's going to take the first part of the week. Nevertheless, he is going to make them. He's going to make them. And I think you could say tomorrow he's going to make two radio addresses. He's preparing those during this period of time. He's going to have to stay here. He's going to prepare for one Saturday, Wednesday. There'll be one on Wednesday.
I don't need to say.
Oh, you should.
What day?
You might as well. Yeah, he's going to make it.
Tough calls on us.
there are two rooms in Independence Hall. One would be big enough, the other would not. But I think the House of Representatives chamber is where you have to have it because of the historical setup in Independence Hall.
Which I had on stage. Ray, the point is, I had this idea, and when I discussed it with John the next morning, thought it was a great idea, and I need to leave you both in service.
Yeah, but now you decide you got to get into Philadelphia, and it's a hell of a way to do it.
The other thing to do is go to the Philadelphia City Hall, which has to be the funniest looking building in the United States.
Yes, on me.
Does the mayor visit?
Yes, yeah, that's right.
It's over, but he calls it over. We got an Independence Hall.
That's worth about a date.
The first Rizzo would bring that place to the cops. He'd keep the cops out.
That's right. Well, we had jurisdiction there. We put federal cops all over as far as that's concerned.
Well, but let Rizzo put the cops there. The city cops on the island, the fringes.
No, the last time you saw Philadelphia.
No. The other question that I raised, though, was that son of a bitch chef.
Yeah, well, he's invited anyway. He'd be invited right here. He's invited anyway. We're inviting all 50.
But we would have to run.
Well, see, on federal ground, that's no problem.
In other words, I have to run the, show and run it the way we have.
But let Mayor Rizzo meet you at the airport.
Oh, yes. After that, Friday. I want him to meet me right with me. Symbolic of running, sure.
The whole city
needs to be and she's private. Therefore, that will not be it will be just myself alone.
No problem. She shouldn't go anyway.
She should not go. I really think that with the crime that we've suffered here, goes on with, why don't we try it there? Sign revenue sharing in Independence Hall. It's a historic event. Invite them all to come there.
They were having two mayor's wives.
Grips mayor, right.
I invite myself every time I see him there. I invite him.
Yeah, I know.
We noticed.
We sort of follow you around.
Scooping up these mayors.
Yeah, we got the one from
Tampa.
Got the little Mexican.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got one from Tampa, too. He picked up down
Georgia. Bobby said he had one hell of a. He had three mayors in Monterey, California, the Democratic mayors from Nixon.
Yeah.
Three new ones that he launched in Monterey. He said it was just one hell of a coverage on it.
California.
Let's do it in Independence Hall. I frankly think that I let's face it, sure you got shot. And sure you're gonna have hammers. It's gonna get, and it's not don't try the motorcade over.
No
motorcade. Because that looks like it's then. That you're trying to make it a campaign thing. It'll be there for it. It'll just be on the other hand, Bob, you better get a crowd around there so that it doesn't appear that all you got are right next to people.
We'll do our own crowd building thing outside the fight. But not a motorcade.
You
no mention signs.
You could admit to the Carpenters Hall, Independence Hall area by ticket.
Yeah.
It's controllable.
Sure. Well, you have to because you're inviting the governors of all the states and all the mayors and the dignitaries from all over the country. You can't, it's not a public, it's just a campaign event.
I think you're not inviting all the members of the Senate House.
Oh, no. No, indeed.
Good job.
No, indeed. No, we're inviting the co-sponsors of the legislation and the Wilbur Mills, Huey Long types.
Russell, please.
I'd like to think of it.
Why don't we then do it on Saturday? No, Friday's fine, baby.
Saturday isn't bad.
They don't. Well, basically.
Saturday's bad television day.
Yeah, I do it on Friday.
This is a television show, you're right.
Good Friday. Build the crowd down there. I think that's sensational. It fits.
Yeah, he's got enough of a. Rizzo's got a kind of an organization that he can do the crowd.
Well,
we'll do it too.
You know, with the war dealers and the. And
he'll do it. He'll have the police there to kill everybody that shows bad signs.
Just tell him not to shoot until we get out of town.
He won't. Take them quietly away and execute them at sunset.
No, he knows something. Just the colors.
The niggers.
Bill Scranton, after Wilkes-Barre, the company that people really react strongly against Chef for his drill system.
Yeah,
he's terrible. He's a terrible bastard.
He took it in the snoot. Every editorial, the editorial was supported.
Great.
It's
in
all of the state.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. Ray, doesn't the Independence Hall sound good to you? I just
sign it inside.
The rain.
No, but the advantage here is that Liberty Bell is right there. You could have a receiving line right smack in front of the Liberty Bell.
Right.
And let them come by. And it is it's outdoor. Oh, unless it rains. Unless it rains.
And then have a receiving line there and shake hands. But let's have it done inside.
Okay.
And if it rains, just do the receiving line in the hall where you have the sign.
Yeah.
Just stand there and receive it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, go ahead. This is such a significant change, a new development in the American system. And also, frankly, a return to
that's the point.
Those big, great basic principles
back to the principles announced in this hall. Constitution was signed, yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence. The principles of our founding fathers, who believe in locals, in local government, state government.
Mayor Rizzo made an appeal to the president that this historic signing should be done in this historic place.
You called Rizzo by him
to come and do it.
He uses very big words, so John. I don't know whether you probably have to translate them.
I am now thoroughly familiar with his entire vocabulary.
In
roughly 96 or 7.
What did he say to you, Bob?
Uh-huh. Oh, he said,
Bob Schreiber.
Oh, yeah. He said, you know, Schreiber's got a girl. We had this girl on Channel 3 Westinghouse here who quit to go to work for the Schreiber campaign. She's doing something. He says, I think he's banging.
Where we are.
Well,
Brown's speech the other day when he talked about how the president literally has brought us together. We don't love each other, but we've learned to live with each other in the last 4 years. We're not tearing up our homes and our workplaces. Well, Wiedenbaum.
Families don't love each other.
Really?
Yeah. It's an extraordinary speech. He gave it down in St. Louis the other day. And it's very, very good. And really sort of a capstone where he says 4 years ago, the president says he's going to bring us together. Remember how it was 4 years ago?
Well, let me say this. The great significance is the beauty of this is in the world of Vietnam. This is the thing. Actually, everybody thinks of the damn Vietnam War. But I noted a very interesting thing where somebody was in the office here, not a particularly literate kind of a lawyer the other day, and he said with some degree of wonderment, he said, did you notice what the Japan is not getting together with China? He said, just think of that. That's because you went to China. Well, it is this relationship, the North Korea, South Korea, the interrelated with China, and the Soviet Union. And certainly the fact that the Romanians coming in here, and the Poles coming even started, we even sent a group over to Czechoslovakia. Point of that, the world is always going to have hatred, it's always going to have a nuclear war hanging over its head. As long as the Indians hit the Pakistanis and the Jews hit the Arabs, there's a potential of war there. And as long as it's communism, the world is a possibility of aggression. But the point that we have to have in mind is that in terms of people in the world being basically in communication or even friends in a world in which governments are destined to be competitors at best and opponents at worst, this is something that we have made enormous progress on. It's what we have learned in the world, in this very potentially dangerous world, where we cannot afford explosions, we cannot afford not only an immediate confrontation with the Russians, or 120 years from now with the Chinese, or even between the Russians and the Chinese. We have developed a safer world in terms of, as we said, no more Vietnams, no more Koreas. Who knows? Maybe we'll have them, but at least the chances are. Now, here at home, you have the same thing. Hell, the young don't like the old. They never have. And the women don't like the men, generally. And the men don't like the women. They live together because of reasons that have nothing to do with love, usually. But nevertheless, whatever the case may be, the point is that younger and old, black, white, and so forth and so on. The idea that everybody's the same is a bunch of crap. Not true. These Chinese doctors in here are very different from us and from Walter Nakash. They're very different, but they're getting along. They're working together. Choi and I and Nixon are very different people. Brezhnev and I are totally different kind of people. We're not the same. We're not going to be the same. It'd be a hell of a dull world, a hell of a dull country if we were. There are differences. The whole secret, the whole philosophy we had goes back to the 67 Foreign Affairs piece, which Reagan did that piece, where basically we say we live in a world which is potentially explosive and dangerous, and which inevitably there are going to be differences. You see, it's a total different approach from the government approach, where he says, in effect, I don't need to worry about the Russians because they will not want to jeopardize my friendship. It has nothing to do with friendship. It has to do with interests. It has to do with, and that's true here too. Why the hell is the students quit blowing up the libraries? Well, because they found they weren't getting an education. They weren't getting jobs. Probably more than anything else, what has had an effect, including the campus, is the fact that these little jackasses couldn't get out and get a job. And I think it's had a lot to do with it. Now, we've helped a bit by saying, let's have more civility and so forth and so on. But the college professors and the faculties haven't helped the goddamn bit. They just beg, whine, whimper, want more money, and they want to blame Washington for everything that goes wrong on the campus. Well,
Southerner has a commonality of interest with them, which the Northerner doesn't have, too.
What's that?
Well, it's pure economics, it's nothing else.
South feels better. But nobody will ever sleep in the South again on our side.
did with those private schools down there.
Well,
very tough for them to take.
The Southerner basically has the same for every person as the American Union leader in a very interesting way. He abides by the law and he respects the presidency. George Shultz tells a fascinating story. Poisoned as much by bad universities. But in softness, that is, where you didn't have it originally. But when we talk about, I mean, the march of the hard hats, and the rest, and the press said, oh, this is just a minority. When we had support for the presidential, the top presidential actions, including the first support for me, before everybody realized that it was the right thing to do, where the hell did it come from? Did you see any businessmen coming up in here and saying, congratulations, Mr. President? No, those parties were sitting out waiting. The stock market went down 20 points and all the rest. Did you see any educators? Not one college president called me. Not one of those assholes. They're sitting out because they have no guts and no character. Did you see any of the intellectuals, the media? No, maybe one or two, but generally speaking, except for a few reporters and the rest, to a man, the establishment said, no horrors, World War III, everything's going down, some. Where did this strength come from? It came from those areas that the elitists, you don't need to use this term, but I will, that the elitists look down their nose at. These Southerners that they despise, these ethnics, the D's and Doe's guys, the labor guys, those farmers, those cattlemen, those people down around San Diego and Orange County, thank God for them. They weren't around. We would be here. And America's foreign policy would be down to two. I don't mean by that to condemn all college presidents or all media or all people who live in the better suburbs and the rest, because there's a hell of a lot of damn good people there that stood up by me. But I'm speaking of the new majority. Where's it coming from? It is not coming from the area that Teeter and the rest urged us to. They said, you've got to go out and look where your strength is. Your strength is in, you know, it's in Evanston, and it's in Pasadena, it's in San Marino, it's in Arcadia, and the rest. The hell it is. We've got to do as well as we can there, but we're doing no better this year there than we ever did before. Where we have turned around is in areas that are very different. That's the thing of this election. Nobody has understood it. Nobody's written. They've understood it. Well, they see it in terms, well, the Catholic vote is shit because they're against abortion. Hell, a lot of Catholics are for it in practice. And they say that the South is shit because they're racist. They say that, but they're missing the point. And when they miss this point, and the reason they miss the point is that they cannot bear the thought that the movement is headed. Movement has happened. The permissiveness has happened. All this whole pissing on this country, not wanting to stand up to what is right, and frankly swear America to their greatest country, is coming back. Or it's not completely back. It's a hell of a lot of people there. The other way, it doesn't mean that everybody has a nice kids to cut their hair and the rest. They've got to be mindless. Very strong supporters from point that I make is that if people interpret this election in terms of, well, we just got together a bunch of haters, they're wrong. It's not true. It's not true. What we have here is basically, you know what the real issue of the election is? Morality. Religion. The material issues are very low on the scale. Oh, sure. Poll, they'll say it's taxes or it's prices and the rest. But if it were taxes and prices, prices would become a government. Why? Because generally, on the economic issues, the Democratic candidate always promised more. Now, it's true, his $1,000 scheme scared the hell out of him on welfare. And probably copied a little on that. Well, the other hand, we've done a lot of things in the economic field. Labor doesn't mind. What is the score of the belly on Germany? I'm just wondering about my own kind of
been here a couple hours.
Yeah, we'll know in 15 or 20 minutes because that conference should go in about 25 minutes. As soon as that clears out, we get a much better feel about how the motion is running. I I'd say by 2 o'clock we ought to be in shape so that you can take off. There's no reason for you to stay here that I can see.
There really isn't any reason either way.
No, that's what I say. By 2 o'clock, but I think it's a good idea for the president.